Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the 4Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the 4Center podcast feed, and this particular episode of the 4Center podcast feed is our new questions and answers show. We don't have a title yet, maybe Cues of the Force, who knows? All I know is there is a question side of the Force and an answer side of the Force, and there must be balance. I am Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsack, and I got to tell you, I know we've been trying to, you know, the news show, you put a good one out there too. I think great names, especially for bands, just kind of appear out of the ether when you least expect it. Cues of the Force is the leader in the clubhouse for me, but maybe I don't want to put it to a fan vote per se, like a cheesy radio station, but we'll let you go all weigh on it. But Cues of the Force, it's got a ring to it. I like that.
Yeah, for a long time there, we had our news and cues show, and I don't know why. I just enjoy saying cues. It's a fun thing to say.
Yeah. It is.
Well, we're going to get into some great questions. Nothing's going to change from when we did the news and cues show, except for this is just the cues. And of course, the A's. Can't leave the A's out. We're going to have two great questions from listeners on Twitter and two great questions from patrons on Patreon. But first, we want to let you know, as always, that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4Center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android,
Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are continuing to recommend Midnight Horizon by Daniel Jose Older. We are going to be discussing that book very soon. It's the latest High Republic adventure, and there is a lot going on in that adventure. So a fun listen and a fun discussion. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for that free audiobook. But that is not all.
That is not all, indeed. We have another offer. Inside Editions, publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books, is offering 35% off across their website if you use this special link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're recommending the Inside Editions book, The Mini Book of Lightsabers. Oh, I love this one. It's been in my hands because it's so tiny. It fits in my hands nice and easy. I've been fun to look through. Again, use the link insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. Get a discount on us. All right, Joseph.
Yeah, questions. Yeah. Down to the question business, huh?
We don't know the rhythm of this particular show yet either.
The important thing is that we have our questions that can guide us and support us like we are stumbling down a hallway. Anyway, I even made a mistake on the notes where it says news. So apparently the questions are news.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to Twitter first. This comes to us from Mark Shannon. Apologies if I got your last name wrong. Here is what Mark has to say. Do you think in The Mandalorian Season 3, we could get an episode on Tatooine with Boba and the gang with no appearance from Din? Maybe an Ahsoka standalone episode. I mean this snark-free, as I had no real issues with chapters 5 and 6 in the Book of Boba Fett. Thanks for all the great Star Wars conversations. Thank you, Mark, and thank you for this great and timely question. Ken, where do you go with this? Do you feel like there are new rules after the Book of Boba Fett, and what does that make you think about Mandalorian Season 3?
Where there are rules now when you have to say something like, I mean this snark-free, and it's a sign of the times, and I think it's needed. I've heard some people say, like, YouTubers, you should stop saying... This is just my opinion. No, I think we unfortunately have to say it more and more and more. It's important in this era of communication to highlight that. So, Mark, I get where you're coming from. And it is, but all the same time, it is kind of a funny idea. Maybe they just do that. So, I think it makes some sense to spend good time with both these characters in the upcoming stories. You know, the Mandoverse, that kind of connected thing that we've talked about works, but also it's just, I mean, look at the story. It does make some sort of sense. So, you know, Boba appearing is about Din and his needs and wants, perhaps, needing some help with Mandalore. So maybe it's like after he commits to that idea, does he go back to Boba and say, Hey, you remember that favor I did for you after you did the favor for me? Let's keep that favor train going here. And I might need some more help. And then for Ahsoka, it might be before. It makes some sense for me, for the character, maybe even thematically, to go to a very centered, balanced character like Ahsoka, who's also in the middle of her own pursuit of something. I don't want to necessarily say vengeance. It doesn't sound like Ahsoka, but she's, you know, the search for Ezra Sabine Thrawn, whatever that might end up being, like, she's on her own mission there. So I don't see her helping, but she has some insight into all these characters. She has some insight into Mandalore and taking it back and Darksabers and the Maul and Bo-Katan of it all. So I think maybe before he goes on that big thing might make some sense for me.
Absolutely. I really love that Mark said, I mean this snark-free, because particularly just in written text, it's sometimes hard to know. And I think it is a really great thing to discuss and wonder about. And it's great to know that it is not coming from a place of, do you think they're going to make this mistake again? But like, hey, that was a different kind of storytelling. Do you think they're going to do that again? I think is a really great thought. I think for myself, Ken, at this point, I think the answer is yes, it's absolutely a possibility. But I really do think of these Favreau and Filoni shows that grew out of The Mandalorian, that grew out of characters appearing in The Mandalorian and our characters all dealing with overlapping ideas in the exact same time period. I really do think of these as the Mandoverse. I understand why they didn't use that title or another one. But for me, when I sit down to watch the first season of Ahsoka or the third season of Mandalorian, in my mind, it's the Mandoverse colon Mandalorian season 3. Or, you know, this last one we just saw, I think really was the Mandoverse colon the Book of Boba Fett season 1. I just think that that is clearly the kind of storytelling that they are wanting to do with the way these characters and the ideas and the conflicts that they represent in the time period interact. So I that's my first big thought, is that I just want to accept what I feel like we've seen is that it's a interconnected story that dials in on specific characters and places and moments. That said, for the individual episodes of a potential appearance of Boba, Ahsoka, standalone episodes in Mandalorian season 3, I think it'll only happen if it serves the larger story. And this is really, I think, the crux of the discussion, right, about Book of Boba Fett is, did that time with Din and Grogu and Ahsoka and Luke, did it serve the larger Book of Boba Fett story? And the reason I like it is thematically, yes, I think it was all about them choosing family over dogma, or choosing connection as a dogma, as a way forward. And I think that tied into the emotional journey that Boba Fett was on. And then from a practical standpoint, if you really wanted to tell the story of all of these allies come in to help Boba Fett, you certainly don't want Din and Grogu just showing up and going, how'd that happen? So for me, it's thematically connected to have spent that time together. And it is just sort of plot timeline confusion wise connected and makes sense. I totally agree with you, Ken, that there are good reasons for Din to visit both Boba Fett and Ahsoka. To Mark's standalone question, I wonder if there's a, let's say, I'm going to throw a hypothetical out at you, Ken. I want to hear your thoughts. Let's say Din realizes early in his journey, he's got the Grogu, the N1 starfighter, and he's trying to figure out how to get to these mines of Mandalore to reclaim something.
Right.
To claim his Mandalorian identity in the eyes of the armorer. And he realizes early on, I really need help with the Darksaber. I'm going to go find Ahsoka. I'm not sure about that Luke guy. I'm going to find Ahsoka to teach me the Darksaber. There's a world where that's the story and Ahsoka appears in this episode with Din. But I think what Mark's asking is there a world where we need a whole standalone Ahsoka episode where Din shows up at the end in order to facilitate that story?
Yeah. And I from this vantage point now, looking out on the cliff of the Mandoverse, I don't see the need for that yet. Obviously, we don't know. But yes, I don't. That's why I think in the end, I would say no.
Okay. Yeah, I think the other possibility is certainly Book of Boba Fett all works for me, but it also worked really, really well. So you can just start Mandalorian season 3 clean. You know, Din and Grogu are back together with a cool starfighter. I can see also some desire to set Ahsoka season 1 up to really start, hit the ground running, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, from that vantage point, yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess there could even be a world where I think this third season of Mandalorian is going to be very much about the fate of Mandalore, of, you know, Din going, literally trying to physically go to Mandalore. What if he encounters Sabine without Ahsoka? Maybe the way that Sabine and Ahsoka get teamed up. Obviously, there's that scene at the end of Rebels. But I think there's a lot of possibilities for different characters to show up who have vested interest in Mandalore.
Yeah. That's actually an interesting thought I had. And I was trying to Google it quick here. I don't remember if they've announced the amount of seasons for Mandalorian. Perhaps it's changed. I don't remember.
I remember hearing like a rumor or an alleged sources are telling me this is how many seasons it's going to be, but you know.
Yeah. And obviously that can all change without a doubt there. So I had this idea, like, I think you're right. The fate of Mandalore very, very, very at some point is going to be dealt with, right? Some point we're setting that up there. I still wonder, and maybe I can take it back. I just maybe have a desire for season 3 to include a lot of smaller, more personal moments and beats for our clan of two. And I use that in all caps, our clan of two, the Mudhorn clan, as Mando kind of goes into those living waters or tries to get to those living waters and find out what that means. So obviously I'm game for the story to take him anywhere. Then and it's kind of like a different kind of redemption song for him. Cause I don't think even if he gets there, it's going to be for the reason the armorer might've wanted him to go there. So, you know, it seems like he's moved past some of that stuff maybe, but that's also part of it. We only spent one episode there. So I guess all that say, I think that needs to happen in some way for me before he goes on to deal with Mandalore. So if that's early on, if Soka's involved with that, This is, I'm just taking wild swings from a very far out point of view here on the show. But I think you're right. That all hangs in the balance. You know, the Mandalore stuff all hangs in the balance all through the season three.
Yeah. And if it's true, Kathleen Kennedy had announced that all these shows in the Mandoverse, for lack of an official term, are building towards a big group story. I think that's either the big group story is either the reclaiming of Mandalore or dealing with something with the baby First Order.
Yeah.
Getting
yeah.
the First Order. But what is really intriguing me with what you're saying, and we're spiraling off into just sort of really speculating about season three of Mando, but everything comes from storytelling. So it's hard to answer these who might pop up without thinking about story. I think one of the most compelling things is we've seen so much growth from Din, so many choices, but I think it's significant that he made the choice to take the helmet off. He made the choice that Grogu is the most important to him. He made the choice to tell the armor about it. But instead of questioning the way he was raised, instead of questioning the children of the watch and the armor, he's just right. You're right, space mom, space leader of my community. I did a bad thing and I'll go repent.
Yeah.
And there is really room for him going on this journey and at some point deciding, he yet hasn't questioned, do I want to be a part of of that philosophy? Do I 100% agree that this is the way? Like he hasn't deviated from it. He's broken the rules and now he wants to do what he is supposed to do to get penance, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that leaves the door open for him to still have the journey to go, this isn't the way for me anymore. Because he hasn't rejected the way, he just broke the rule, and now he's trying to fix it.
Yeah, and that's what I was. This is a different kind of redemption song. I don't think he's redeemed himself already in many ways, but this is this final one. The Mandalorian Creed, the armor, Paz Vizsla, get away, apostate. Like, hey man, hey, I'm taking offense to that now. I think that's still. I want to see that explored more, not answered. I want to explored more, leading into Mandalorian. And then going back to Mark's original question, then maybe there's just an episode where Boba Fett is finally enjoying a nice meal with Fennec because he feels he can now.
I'd be happy with just Boba takes the Rancor out for a ride, Ranky the Rancors, as you call it. Final thought for me on this is if Boba Fett were to appear again, if Tatooine were to appear again, there's certainly they have a great, it's this exciting armored version of can you afford a cheeseburger today? No, I'll lend you $10 and vice versa between Boba Fett and Mando. But I would really love for Boba Fett to get roped back into the story because someone comes to him and says, you wear that armor. You claim you have a right to it because your father had a right to it as a foundling. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on the future of Mandalore and somebody forcing him to deal with that part of his legacy? I'd still love to see that.
Yeah, I would too, to be clear. I hope we get more Boba Fett and Fennec and that whole crew and Ranky the Rancor. And here's the thing, the fun part of my final thought here, Mark's question. Here we are in 2022 having this conversation that November 2019, I just couldn't have predicted we were going to have. And that's always what I love about these Star Wars stories. Just want to see where they go and where they take us. And who knows what you'll be asking next. Who knows? Will General Crix Maydeen be continuing to help Din? We don't know.
Yes. Will that pointer pop up? Probably, because they have shown a love for Kenner action figure accessories. Yeah. That's my bold prediction. There will be more Kenner action figure accessories that pop up in Mando season 3. Great question, Mark. I can't wait to find out the actual answer by watching the show, but those are some thoughts. Move on to GDR Jeff. GDR says, if you had a chance to fly any one mission from Star Wars, which one would it be? I think I would pick the blockade run on Ibar from Season 2, Episode 7 of Rebels, Wings of the Master. I love the B-Wing design and would love to see it in action up close. Love your show. Thank you, Jeff. Love your question. Can any mission in Star Wars, where would you go?
Every one I started to write down, I was like, wow, my chances of survival are... not good. But hey, you know, and I don't even mean this in a joking way. The state of the world these last few days has shown that, hey, sometimes you when you get involved, there's no safety and security in that decision, just your heart taking you in the right direction. So I want to fly with these rebels. I want to. And I decided, taking all into account of would I be like Porkins and unable to eject from my X-Wing, I am going to go to the Battle of Scarif. Because it's one I talk about a lot. I love Maratus moment. I love all that. To me, it is a battle of decision. All battles probably are in Star Wars, but this is a big, just capital D decision made by the Rebel Alliance at this time. A choice is being made, and I'd love to be part of that choice in a Y-Wing, clearing the way for that message to get out and hopefully provide hope to the galaxy. That's a pretty big, valuable fight. I love, I always say the Y-Wings get their due in Rogue One. They finally get to have a big moment. Gold Leader leading the charge there, nullifying that Star Destroyer, allowing Raddus's idea of pushing in to emerge. So there you go. I'm going to fly in Gold Squadron in the Battle of Scarif.
Oh, that is really great. We had a similar thought process, ended up in different battles, but Scarif is, that's a powerful one. But we went through the same process of like, yeah, that one'd be fun. I don't think I'd make it. That one would be fun. I don't know if I would make it. Nope. So it took a practical approach to this question.
Absolutely.
I love your Scarif decision because you're right. It is obviously every battle that the Rebel Alliance fights is terrifying and necessary, and they choose to continue fighting, often with terrible odds. But that first one of like, we have been gearing up for this forever. There have been skirmishes, with cells, Battle of Adelon, all that. But this is the one, where we are committing that we are saying this is necessary and it's worth putting everything on the line. That's great. Love the image of the Y-Wings there. The Battle of Scarif, I felt like that justified the hours I've spent playing, in particular, the Rogue Squadron video games, slowly tooling along as a Y-Wing, dropping bombs, trying to take out the armaments on Star Destroyers. That would be fun to do in real life. But I think I want to say the trench run, but there's no way I'm making it. So here's the one that I think is... both has the great emotional resolve to it. I would just love to see the sights there, but I also could maybe survive. I would want to be in the Battle of Exegol.
Nice.
That I think, much like Scarif was this big D decision, as you put it, for the Rebel Alliance, that's the big D decision for the galaxy, right? That's what makes those stories different, and it's highlighted so well in the Rise of Skywalker novelization that this is really the galaxy deciding to stand up and make a difference, and to have, the audacity to believe this sentiment that there are more of us. So let's just stand up and push back, which is a really frightening thing to believe, and an even more frightening thing to actually follow through on in any way. So I would like to be a part of that decision. Here's what I want to be flying, Ken, since I could be flying anything, right? You could be flying, just Dexter's Diner could have had some jets added to it, and you could be flying that in the Battle of Exegol. Anything can show up. I want to live in a fantasy reality where I have got an old Delta 7 Aether Sprite Jedi Interceptor, the one from Attack of the Clones. I've taken it to Pelle Noto, and she has absolutely covered it in protective armor. Mm-hmm. It's not as fast as it used to be. It's absolutely just really worn down by all this armor, lots of shields, but still that nice, cool shape. And I would like to show up there in Exegol and help out taking out those cannons on the bottom of those Star Destroyers.
Oh, I love that one. That's a good one. That's the ship for you.
Yeah, it would be a fun ship. And I also, it's got a lot of armor, but it's still small enough that you could probably evade a lot. So you can zip. Mm-hmm. That seems like a battle where you want to be in a ship that can move.
As opposed to the clunky old standby Y-Wing that, on every video, you're so right, at every video game. Because I didn't play Star Wars Squadrons much after I finished the story. I'll admit to that. But there's that one story where you are in a Y-Wing and you have to do a strafing run. And I remember at one point just going, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is my childhood dreams come true. And by the way, my Y-Wing was turned all upside down. The screen was, I was getting dizzy by flying the angle I was flying. I just didn't do it well. But I love what you're saying there.
It's a great ship in the Battlefront 2. I loved slowly tooling around and trying to bomb things in there. That was a great time. Absolutely great time. Any other thoughts on which battle you'd be in?
No, but I want to highlight, Jeff, that's a great answer. The Ibar season 2, episode 7 of Rebels. And it's a great episode. Can't wait to take some deeper dives into Rebels here on Force Center. But that B-Wing has always been, a favorite of a lot of Star Wars fans, but because it's just so awkwardly beautiful. Even as a kid, I was like, what's happening on that ship? And it was such, I love the use of it and Hera getting it in that one episode and just the result of it there. It's a great little moment. So good answer, Jeff.
Great pick. And I'm realizing now that there is another problem with my selection of Battle of Exegol is that it is a risk for anybody who is just a fan of ships, right? That you're in an important galactic history defining battle, life or death. But if you're a big Star Wars nerd, you'd probably be distracted by going like, oh, wow, is that a B-Wing?
In the fight, check. Oh, my gosh, an N1 is here. Oh, my God, I heard that guy Din had one. Well, no, yeah.
Cut the nerdy chatter. Focus on the battle. Great question. And with that, we are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to be back to take two questions from our patrons on Patreon back in a moment.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we are back to finish taking cues of the Force, because we don't want to say the whole word questions for some reason. We're going to move on to this question from our patron, Jonathan Curdy. Jonathan says, hello, Joseph and Ken. You know how it is rewatching Star Wars. Just when you think you've figured it out, something new pops out at you like Minox pouncing on your cockpit panes. Great turn of phrase. Jonathan continues, I was hoping you could help me resolve some canon confusion I experienced recently when a line of dialogue I must have repeatedly ignored finally clicked in my brain. In Attack of the Clones, after Chancellor Palpatine accepted emergency powers and announced creation of the Grand Army of the Republic, there is a little scene with Master Windu and Master Yoda where Windu says, I will take what Jedi we have left and go to Geonosis and help Obi-Wan. Jonathan has marked the exact second in the film at hour at 1 minute 35, second five.
Respect, Jonathan, respect.
Yeah, that's absolutely great. We got the timestamp. The what Jedi we have left part of the line stuck out to me because I don't know why there would be a shortage of Jedi at this moment in Star Wars history. Clearly, there's about to be a lot fewer Jedi around once the Battle of Geonosis kicks off 15 minutes of screen time later. But apparently this was the case to some degree even before the losses at Geonosis. Is there a canon reason why Mace is referencing a reduced number of Jedi at this time? If this instead is currently a Star Wars mystery, what's your headcanon take of why this would be? Is this a mystery you'd like to see addressed? Thanks for taking my questions. May you be one with the Force, and may the Force be with you. Thank you very much, Jonathan. This is a super fun question. Ken, I have what I think is a canon answer, but I'm curious to see what you think.
Well, I'm very curious about that because, Jonathan, I feel you up top of as much as we watch Star Wars and read Star Wars and study Star Wars and just dive back in. There are those moments where you're just like, man, 40 years, I've never paid attention to that line or I've never thought about it or, man, I don't know. I don't have a clear answer. So I want to hear your canon reason, but I definitely have developed some headcanon reasons. But what do you have?
Ooh, great. Yeah. So first we'll go canon, then we'll go full head canon. I remember seeing Attack of the Clones in the theater the very first time and being intrigued by this line of what does this mean? Because like you're watching the prequels going, how did it happen? How did it happen? And like, ooh, are they being narrowed down? And then literally the second time I saw Attack of the Clones the next day, I thought the answer to that line is in the crawl. There's this sentence in the crawl. This separatist movement, under the leadership of the mysterious Count Dooku, has made it difficult for the limited number of Jedi Knights to maintain peace and justice in the galaxy. Now, this takes some interpretation. That's not just literal. But for me, I think the picture that is being painted with that line in the crawl, combined with what Mace is saying, is that the Jedi are spread thin throughout the galaxy, putting out fires that this separatist conflict has created. So I think he's referencing the fact that there aren't that many Jedi just on Coruscant physically right now to hop on the ships and go, and also that there have been more Jedi casualties because there are these little fires popping up everywhere, and I think Jedi are dying.
I'm going to check the scoreboard here. I think that wins in terms of canon answer. We'll see if Alex has some comic book over the course of our time here. No, I think it's great. I think you're so right to go to the crawl and kind of just, what's the context of this story? This two and a half, two-hour plus Star Wars story, Attack of the Clones, makes a lot of sense. And it's one of those things too. I love what you're talking about. This kind of makes you think of other things. You and I have talked before about how the occupation of Naboo and in the Phantom Menace, they're going to take him to a camp and process them, but it always kind of seemed, Bibble's the death toll is catastrophic is a false message, but also that there could be something going on that was a little bit more. And then for E.K. Johnson's book to kind of come back and dive into a little bit what actually was going on there. And it's not pretty, right? It's brutal. It's an occupation of the people there. So I love what you're saying now, because then it just makes you think about this growing separatist movement. And for every Mina Bonteri, a name we always invoke here because of what that Clone Wars story means, it just representing that heroes on both sides take. But just like, hey, there's some legitimate concerns of the Republic. There always have been. There always will be. And that's okay. It's okay to analyze our ruling parties here and our ruling governments. But how just it was a little bit more detailed than we'd think, and it's tip of the iceberg storytelling for me. Now I want to see this kind of almost new frontier we're getting the High Republic stuff. And I think we even go back in time with some High Republic stuff coming up in phase two to actually see the Outer Rim being settled. And it's going to be a little more bloody and brutal than maybe you would have thought. And so who knows what's the separatist movement already being violent, already, you know, leading to violence, even if it's not from separatists themselves or separatist politicians. You know what I'm saying? It just, you're making me think about the stories yet to be told.
Yeah, I so agree with that. I so love what you're saying. This is one of those storytelling moments that I'm really excited about. I think you're incredibly right to highlight that moment in The Phantom Menace, that if you just watch the movie and you're kind of focusing on other things, you can't think of, you maybe don't think about the real impact of what's going on there. And I think it is the same with the storytelling that comes in the years moving up to Attack the Clones and really intensifying right before Attack the Clones. I know there's, you know, some old EU books and I'm sure some comics that deal with it. But I would love to see this storytelling. I think there's even kind of some evidence of it in the film. If you, you know, look at lines like disgruntled spice miners on the moons of Naboo or the border dispute on Ancyon, which was in an old book. You could look at that. It's like, that's business as usual. But I like the idea that, you know, Dooku and Palpatine together have just turned up the temperature on every conflict in the galaxy. So there are, you know, labor negotiations. There are, you know, border disputes. There are more shipping lane battles. There are maybe like some cultural or even ecological disagreements that are flaring up all over the galaxy. And the Jedi are just racing to put out all of these fires that are growing. You know, and there's that sense in Attack of the Clones too that the Republic is frightened, that the separatist movement is growing, and that there maybe have been skirmishes, nowhere near war, but like skirmishes. You know, so this idea that the Jedi are out there just trying to stamp out all these flames. It even reminds me of some of the High Republic storytelling when we get like, here's the big attack of the Nile, but then here's all the little flare ups everywhere. I would love like a book or a comic series. This is a bad title, but called like Erosion of the Jedi, about all these little conflicts that are starting nowhere near able to take out the Jedi Order, but are starting to weaken it and stretch them really, really thin.
Yeah. And what's great about this question, again, saying up top of, yeah, I've heard this line and seen this scene for so long, and I just haven't spent a lot of time, you know, ruminating on what that all means. And I think that's the joy of going back and pulling these little story strings out and see how far they'll go or how far you daydream about them going. The fact that there's a vote happening in an army, like I think I've spent a long time, especially in those early days where I was like, prequels don't have any depth to them at all. Like, why are they there voting for an army? Because someone's voting against them? Like, you know, like, what's going on there? There's a risk. There's a reason. There's a reason some people are being convinced this is the right thing. Yes, that's there. And yes, we've even had discussions about it. And you out there listening may be like, no, I loved it. It's always there for me. But I think it was easy to overlook that and connect to that title crawl to that line. I think you're very right to do so.
Yeah. So it is a great question. And I love thinking about this era and this moment and what a big deal it is, right? For Mace to go, I kind of take it as those are the Jedi that are on Coruscant or nearby, right? In the Jedi who aren't actively in the middle of, you know, trying to resolve some dispute. That's a big deal for Mace to go like, okay, this is a big enough problem. Dooku, one of our own, formerly one of our own, is behind it. Obi-Wan's in trouble. I'm taking 200 Jedi and we're putting an end to this now. You know, that's a big swing for Mace Windu.
Yeah. Well, even to see how, you know, we don't have the High Republic to fall back on in 2002, obviously, but to see just how it's even difficult to move around then when there's a lot of fires around the galaxy and try to coordinate efforts and everything. That's been one of the things I love. So I think that's a great canon answer, even with a little bit of a head canon kind of tossed in there, Joseph, into that canon stew we've got there. Much deeper and better than my thoughts on what Mace might have meant.
Yeah, I like this this food recipe you're making that's mostly canon with just a little bit of head in it. Yeah. Delicious. Yeah. Absolutely delicious. Yeah. Moving on then to our final question from Brendan Bozarth. This is a very fun one. Brendan says, hey guys, I've been playing Galaxy of Heroes a lot lately. If you don't know, it's a mobile game in which you can make a squad of 5 characters from all throughout the Star Wars galaxy, even including some Legends characters, and have them all fight another squad of 5 in turn-based combat. It's truly surprising some of the characters they've managed to incorporate, such as Mon Mothma, Wat Tambor, or just a regular Ugnaught. Also, the game has multiple versions of characters. So for Joseph, there are three different Obi-Wans, and Ken could have an entire squad of Han Solos. Anyways, says Brendan, playing the game has given me this idea for a question. If you could have a dream team of characters from all of Star Wars, what would it be? Maybe you could pick only pick five characters just like the game, but you're able to mix both heroes and villains. I'm very interested to hear your choices, especially if they end up actually being possible in the game. Smiley face. Smiley face indeed, Brendan. I have not played this game because I'm frightened it will take over my life, especially when I discovered via this question that I could put Mon Mothma and Wat Tambor on a team together. Terrifying. So, Ken, have you played this game at all?
I'm not. I'm currently hovering over the get button on my phone. definitely have seen the game. You know, we sometimes have skipped over even some news announcements of players in it. But I am in a spot where I'm trying, in order to try to lower, lessen my social media interactions, I'm trying to play more games on my phone, which actually means I spend more time on my phone. It's weird to find something else. So I've been playing, like, you know, I have that simple game, Bricks and Balls. You got some balls, you're trying to break the bricks, like it was made on a Commodore, and it's working. But, you know, so who knows? I might have to get Galaxies of Heroes finally and build my squad and fight. Gosh, I'm looking at the trailer, Joseph. Yeah, that Ugnaught looks really okay. We better move this up. You can level up your heroes. Oh, that's dangerous.
Oh boy.
All right. So see what you've done, Brendan. See what you've done.
Now I'm gonna download Galaxy of Heroes and Balls and Bricks.
it's a fun distraction. I don't want to waste time on Twitter 2 hours later. I've got to break those bricks. All right.
That is a pretty great picture of like, this discourse is making me angry. I need to calm down with some balls and bricks.
Balls and bricks. All right. So, so we're just going to name our team here. Is that we're drafting here?
I think so. Was this difficult for you?
It wasn't at first. I came up with five right away. And then I have some alts. It's almost like a mini Star Wars ranked. I'll get to those alts. But in a way, it was just like, if we're fighting, here's who I want on my team. And then from there, the alts, like I said, confuse me.
Okay, that's what I wanted to understand before I hear your list, is what your rationale was. And you were thinking from a place of like, I want to win this game. What is an unstoppable combo of Star Wars power?
Yeah. I just, you know, I know lightsabers, maybe some blasters, but I got to imagine there's some fist fighting there. And again, imagine you can go to all eras, all characters. I didn't limit myself at all.
Okay, you didn't limit yourself at all. All right, then let's hear it. I want to hear your lineup.
All right, starting with number one draft pick, Kira. She's my team leader. We need some brains, but she's proven time and time again, from the movies to the comics to the books, she knows how to fight. So I'm going to put her in there. She can lead from the front. Some Tara Scassi there. I really want her there. He's a top of the charts with a bullet kind of character lately, but Black or Satin, always been one of my favorites. Going back to his first comic appearances, so I got to need him as my number one fighter. Has he lost some fights? Yeah, we saw him lose some fights, but, you know, unfair odds. He could still hold his own. Then I'm going to go to Porter Engel, the Blade of Bardotta. You know, I love my Porter Engel, and, you know, when he's not cooking nine eggs stew, he knows how to fight and do it with a smile. So I'm going to have him in there. Just be fun to see him. And I guess we're not super familiar with him yet during his prime, so I'll take the stew cooking Porter.
He's still a badass.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's kind of a cheat. Feel free to draft some of these players in your team too. I got to go Wrecker. My guy Wrecker.
Oh, right.
He's going to take a punch in the head or 12 and keep on ticking. So there. So I got some power. Black Ascend, Port Angle, Wrecker. But I need something else. That's power. But power can be defeated. You got to be careful. Got to have some other tricks up your sleeves. And my fifth choice is a wild card. It's Dr. Chelly Aphra. The reason I want Aphra there is she's there to antagonize my opponents. Like a catcher in baseball chattering at a batter to distract them and get them upset. Aphra gets under everyone's skin and on their nerves time and time again. Even women she's dated or allies, they're going to come back and they love her and they hate her, and she's going to make them upset at some point, and maybe they'll make mistakes. So Aphra is my little chatterbox in the corner, who also knows how to fight and use some trickery and exploding a bomb, anything. She can make it happen, and I want Aphra there for the fight.
Oh, that is a team that it is difficult to imagine being beat, but wow. In a really great variety, too, of well-known characters and the fun of, I get to play this character in a video game?
Yeah, and I got to imagine, having not played Galaxy of Heroes, that there isn't a antagonize button. insult button, but maybe.
I hope there's a Teres Kazi button. Really need that. That is a great list. And now you had, did you have some people that you considered but left off?
I did. You want me to list them now? I hope none of them are on your list.
No, I'll list my team and then we exchange the ones that we were tortured to let go.
I wouldn't want to stick on your list there. So yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I tried to approach this like, okay, if I really could have any Star Wars character, I definitely want to have a powerful team. I want to have some of my favorites, but I also want to indulge in the obscurity, right? A video game that will let me play a character that is like, there's nowhere I could ever imagine getting to play this character. So my mind did go to a lot of my favorite weirdos that people have heard me talk about a lot, but I still wanted to have a powerful team. So I'm starting with, not surprisingly, my old favorite, Obi-Wan. Look, if I have an option to put Obi-Wan on a team, I'm going to do that. If Obi-Wan appeared on a beach and I had to play volleyball, I would try to get Obi-Wan on my team. I don't care. Any team. If I was on a cooking show with a team, I'd try to get Obi-Wan involved. Any team ever, I'll try to get Obi-Wan on. I would go Revenge of the Sith era. I was then tempted to just be like a whole team of Obi-Wans, but nope, that's not fun. But Revenge of the Sith era, Obi-Wan, very, very experienced as a leader, still great at his defensive ability, but really at that like height of his power, very, very experienced in combat and wisdom. Now, of course, you got a lightsaber character. You want to balance that out with a blaster character. But why have a character who just shoots a blaster when you can also have a character who can jump high and throw their hat? So I went with Embo.
Of course. Yes.
Love Embo. When Book of Boba Fett was out there making random bounty hunter dreams come true, did such a great job with Black Chrysanthemum. It's amazing to see the character and to flesh out the character. I had such hopes for seeing Embo. So anywhere that I can include Embo in anything, I'm doing that. Love that bounty hunter and just a great fighter. There's a bounty hunter who's taken it to Anakin, I think will, in the height of the Clone Wars, I think it can do well for me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I got to go more obscure because that's what I would honestly do if I had this video game in front of me. And I want another lightsaber. But I really want some wisdom. I really want a different perspective, a different style. So I went with Jocasta Nu.
Ooh, nice choice.
Yeah, I love the stories with her in the Vader comic. Don't want to spoil those for anybody who hasn't read it. But according to those comic books, Jocasta Nu is still a powerful force user. Still a great lightsaber wielder. And hey, the librarian knows some secrets. Again, like your Chelly Afro point, I don't think there is a knows secrets from the library button in Galaxy of Heroes. But it's the spirit of the idea, right?
There should be. Yeah, there should be.
And then I thought, you know what every team needs is a healer, right? Somebody who can help the wounded. I don't know if that's a function in Galaxy of Heroes, but it seems good to have on a team. And I thought through healers, and I came up with this perhaps surprising choice. My fourth pick is Mother Talzin.
Oh, wow. Ooh, that's a wild card.
I was intrigued by combining the standard good guys, bad guys. Mother Talzin is, I don't know if I would call her a bad guy, but she dabbles in the dark side, certainly, in her dark side magics. I can see Mother Talzin having powerful attacks. Great intimidation factor. Just her speaking voice is terrifying with a massive echo. But then, you know, think of how fun it would be if Embo got wounded and then Mother Talzin could do like a weird Dathomir magic and or give Embo spider legs.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, there you go.
I know Mother Talzin didn't hand out the spider legs, but she handed out the better legs. Yeah. And then to round it out, I just had to go with like the other character that like I couldn't resist putting this character on a team. I'm going with Palpatine, but specifically, I'm going with Omen Harness Palpatine.
Yes.
Which I always forget is the actual official name of the claw arm crane that he's hanging from. I want just withered, angry Palpatine. He's maybe not as powerful. He can still shoot lightning. It's not as effective, but he can literally just run over people, just crush an Ugnaught under a weaponized rolling Omen harness.
That's beautiful. I don't know if that's an option, but I mean, look, let's be honest. By tonight, this game will be downloaded on my phone and we'll report back next week. But yeah, that's
great. Amazing that that our starting lineups, we didn't have any overlap.
It's very, very, even in my alts, clear of your choice. Okay. All right, I'm going to run through quickly here. Yeah. You know, in choosing Black or Satin, I was like, well, why also wouldn't I consider Chewbacca? He's pretty good to fight, pretty crafty, and very loyal. Good to have on your side. So going Chewy. The other choice, Captain Tarples. You know, it's a good fighter. Great heart. Go with Tarples there. And then I was like, you know, not for nothing. Let's not forget who's good in a street fight, real brave, and someone who's just charming and a good inspirational leader, Finn. I don't want to overlook Finn. And then two more choices here. Costco Reeves, only because we saw, you know, when you have Mercedes Vernado, a.k.a. Sasha Banks on your team, she's going to be able to put some moves on. So Costco Reeves, going to throw her in there too. But then the final choice, Joseph, because I thought about it, unless I'm wrong, he's never really lost a fight, even though I wouldn't call him the best fighter. I'm adding Jar Jar Binks onto my bench.
He does have, I think, the comedy force runs strong in him. And even when he doesn't mean to, when it's, he can trip his way to victory.
Yep. So there you go. Those are my alts.
Those are some great alts. My number one alt is Ray with the yellow blade. I'd love to put Ray on a team. I got the opportunity in Battlefront 2 to play her a lot and with the yellow blade. And that's so great. I think this was on my mind because he was in our news episode, a new short story. Dexter with just 4 meat cleavers. Just hacking and slashing. That sounds fun. Also on my alts were some of my favorite weirdos, like Lulilo Primock, that weirdo, the singer from Solo, Opeepit, the ever-frustrated janitor from the Star Wars Resistance show, going to Bad Batch, Sid from Bad Batch. Like, look, let's not forget, she's a Trandoshan, right? I mean, she could bite a throat out, right?
Yep, I agree with you. That's a good choice.
And then my final two are also from Bad Batch. Tech, absolutely love Tech. Can't wait for Bad Batch season 2 and more great tech content. And I'm going to end with one of the, I think, celebrated fighting species in Star Wars who should not be doubted or overlooked. And that is Teebow the Ewok.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep, I'm going to sound that Ewok horn, and fear is going to run down the spines.
You did, and you and I on the February Will of the Force Patreon-exclusive episode discussed Teebow and the power of the Ewoks, so good stuff.
Yep, the power of Teebow. That is such a fun question. Thank you very much, Brendan. Thank you to everyone for your questions. Jonathan, GDR, Jeff, and Mark, thank you all. Ken, that's it.
That is it. What a fun time. Thank you all for following us on this journey, welcoming Jennifer back and doing the news show, the question shows, and the deep dives. Everything's still going on. We love evolving, but also keeping to the core of what we believe Force Center is and celebrating the silly, the simple, and the deep and the poignant all at the same time. And your questions make that even more easier. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. You can also get us on Instagram or YouTube as well. We're going to be start doing monthly live Q&A shows on YouTube, looking for March 11th as the first one. We'll update you on that as we try to move in that direction, but just add that to our portfolio, I should say. Our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You can listen to us on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. Just search and find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us at patreon.com/ForceCenter, where you can get that monthly exclusive show, The Will of the Force. You can follow me at Catnapsock or go to catnapsock.com. Obviously, with stuff still going on in the world, usually for a new show, we'll highlight charities and places of interest to you know, put your eyes on. We'll continue that there. A lot of stuff going on, obviously, in Ukraine, and there's a lot of ways to support. I'm supporting the organization Come Back Alive, which you can get to at savelife.in.ua. Joseph, where can they find you, and what do you got?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out all my other comedy adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. I would like to continue to highlight the organization Vote Forward. This is a service where you sign up to write letters, you download a form, and then you write in a personalized message about why voting is important to you. I do not think voting is the one and only solution to all of our problems, but I think it's a big thing that we can do to try to put our voice, our power out there to say, this is who we support. This is the things we believe in, and just get that word out there and encourage other people to use that power in whatever way they choose. I'm going to be writing a lot of letters this year as we look at the midterms here in the United States. So if you are at all interested in that, you can check out their website at votefwd.org.
Great stuff indeed. Thank you all for the questions. I am now going to go play Galaxy of Heroes. Joseph, back to you to close us out.
Yep, I'm going to go play Ball and Bricks. Is it Balls and Bricks or just one? Did I screw it up?
Bricks and Balls. Bricks and Balls.
Bricks and Balls. Even better. Very exciting to have this first Q&A only show. Q's of the Force. Maybe that's what we'll call it. Maybe the Will of the Force will tell us to change that title. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for everyone on our Galaxy of Heroes team, this has been Force Center.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.